Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Zarin.
Yes?
Over here.
Yes.
Zarin?
Yes.
Do you know what's ridiculous?
I do. Good question, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay. Tommy Smothers recently passed away.
Yeah, I know. R.I.P.
Right? Yeah. So they had the Smothers Brother Comedy Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever know about what Keith Moon did on that show?
No.
So The Who were supposed to perform My Generation,
yeah.
Right? So you got all of them, Roger Daltrey, Entwistle.
Keith Moon is the drummer.
Townsend's the guitarist, right? So Moon, bass drum, right? He's got a little thing set up for the end of the song. And when it gets to the end of the song, he hits it and the drum explodes. He had loaded it up to blow up live on TV.
That's very Keith
and
Moon.
When I say blow up, I mean like Roger Daltrey gets thrown at the camera.
Oh, you're kidding.
Right? Pete Townsend's hair is like on fire, singeing, smoking when the smoke abates, right? Now, Entwistle, cool as any bass player, he's just standing there like,
yeah.
What happened with that? And it's someone get me a drink, right? Anyway. I thought that was absolutely amazing because also Keith Moon, he got shrapnel in his own arm. So it played backwards
what?
On him, right? Who never invited on TV to do that type of show ever again.
Yeah.
So there you go. Tommy Smothers, R.I.P.
R.I.P. And
gave
Keith
us that
Moon, R.I.P.
Keith Moon, right?
Oof,
ridiculous, huh?
That is ridiculous.
Blowing up a set.
For effect. You know what else is ridiculous?
What, Elizabeth?
Fraud, Zarin. It's fraud. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Oh, you damn right.
Do you know what I have in common with Lord Kelvin, the famous physicist,
mm-hmm.
Adam Smith, the father of economics,
mm-hmm.
7 Nobel laureates, 3 British prime ministers, and actor Gerard Butler?
A love of Argyle socks and air bathing.
Close. We are all University of Glasgow graduates.
Oh.
Yes. So I have my master's degree from the University of Glasgow in Scotland.
Yes, you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Did you know the place opened in 1451?
As in, like, the Middle Ages?
Yes, it's ancient.
No, I did not know that.
It's an ancient university.
I know it's one of the oldest in the world, if not. Like, I think Bologna is a little bit older.
Yeah, it's one of what they call, like, the ancient universities of Europe. Lots of notable alumni. I mean, you do that long.
Yeah, I figure. You're going to hit a couple.
And it wasn't easy to get in, and it wasn't easy to get the degree with highest distinction.
Oh, look at you.
And it's not just, like, the diploma. It's everything behind it, you know? It's the effort that I put in so I can display certain skills. As a result.
Sure. And then also the imprimatur of that school tells us that you did all this.
Exactly. So people are proud of their alma maters.
Yes, their soul mother.
That's right. Jim Mann, Chief Information Technology Officer of the state of Kansas, he was proud of his degree in business administration from the University of Devonshire.
Jim Mann?
Jim Mann.
Okay. Good man, Jim Mann.
George Weah, yeah. President of Liberia.
That away, George
and
Weah.
And a retired Liberian football player.
Ah.
He was proud of his degree from Parkwood University.
Football, soccer, not football, football.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kostas Margaritis.
Uh-huh.
He's a Greek politician, and he's a member of the New Democracy Party there. He has a degree from Shelburne University. He's very proud of it.
Ah, of course.
Leonard Ingram, a.k.a. Bagwan Ra Africa. He's a self-proclaimed anger management specialist. He's written a bunch of books. He was on that Penn & Teller TV show.
Oh, interesting.
He's proud of his PhD in philosophy from Glen Cullen University.
Glen Cullen. Hmm.
Who are these people, Zarin?
Elizabeth, are these friends of yours?
No, these people are phonies.
Oh.
They're phonies. University of Devonshire, Parkwood University, Shelburne University, Glen Cullen University. Mm-hmm. They're all fake colleges.
Oh, but the people are real.
The people
colleges
are real.
Are fake.
The colleges are fake.
So they're not like AI people.
No, they're real people with fake diplomas.
Gotcha.
These colleges are fronts for one diploma mill operation called University Degree Program.
Wait, one? They just have all these different flavors of college you can pick?
The Chronicle of Higher Education called this the, quote, granddaddy of diploma mills. And so we'll get to this particular operation later, but right now I want to give you some background.
Please, I love background.
What is a diploma mill, Zarin?
Elizabeth, what is a diploma mill?
Well, in today's society, Webster's Dictionary defines diploma mill as, quote, a usually unregulated institution of higher education granting degrees with few or no academic requirements. So it's a business that sells illegitimate diplomas for bogus degrees.
Ah, the degrees. Those are important, I hear.
They are, yeah, they're kind of. Sometimes.
No, people use them all the time to leverage things.
They do. That is true. And so some of these diploma mills, they claim that they offer credit for prior learning.
Credit for prior learning.
And that's a legitimate thing, but it has to be very carefully documented with like a confirmed method of conversion from experience to academic credit.
So like if I was a UN interpreter working in French, like a Francophone on the African continent, I could go in and get like French 5 credits.
Sure.
Exactly. Something like that.
Something like that.
Okay.
So some of the diploma mills, they don't even bother with any kind of conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them also have a fake accreditor that make it look like there's some sort of quality assurance.
Ah.
And so you hear degree mill and diploma mill, and they aren't the same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Degree mill issues diplomas from unaccredited institutions that may be legal in some states, but are generally illegitimate. That's the degree mill.
So this is like a medical degree from a school in Granada.
Totally. And then the diploma mill, they issue counterfeit diplomas bearing the names of real universities.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Sometimes there's an overlap in that. I mentioned accreditation.
Yes.
Diploma mills, they're usually shopping degrees from colleges that aren't accredited by a recognized institutional accreditor. And accreditors, apparently, like, they keep colleges accountable to set standards.
Oh, I'm glad you bring this up. I know all about accreditors, Elizabeth. I could tell you, I could wax poetic about it because it's a really integral component of the academic experience. And people don't understand that colleges without this accreditation, they could pose as we're seeing as anybody. And the accreditor actually guarantees your education in a way as much as your teacher does.
Sure. Yeah,
no?
I don't know.
Well,
whatever.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, so, it's like, I should say that just because a college is unaccredited doesn't mean it's bad or fake.
No, no.
So, you know, but accreditation is important.
Accreditation is like basically a certification of this stuff is what it says it is on the tin.
And I think from my understanding, it's generally like sort of gatekeeping federal financial aid funds,
too.
Oh,
interesting.
Like keeping
I probably
should
have brought that up.
You should have known these things. For diploma mills, since they don't have the seal of approval from an accreditor, they have to do other stuff that's going to make them look legit to students.
Yes.
So some will say that they're fully accredited, but the accreditor is another scam on its own. There are accreditation mills.
Okay.
And so they make their websites look legit and they claim to be approved by the government, like a, you know, an accreditor would be. And then the college can link to that fake accreditor and students think it's all on the up and up.
Of course, layers on layers.
And other times the fake college will say that they are internationally recognized by organizations like UNESCO.
Oh.
And that sounds impressive.
Sure.
The problem is that UNESCO has no authority to recognize or accredit colleges.
It's just cultural sites, right?
Yeah, completely. Okay. So they're like, oh, that sounds, you know,
that's,
big though.
Yeah.
So some diploma and degree mills, they draw students in by telling them that work history and professional education can count towards a degree, which in some cases it
which
can,
is
like
true,
I said.
Yes.
They might even have the student write a dissertation or a thesis. Of course, the papers are usually like 4 pages long and don't require a defense.
Okay.
Just turn it in. Another trick to make the place look legit is to use the following language in their promotional materials. They'll say degrees are, quote, attested and sealed for authenticity by government-appointed notary.
Are you supposed to get a sealed diploma?
Well, it's like notarized. All it means is that the signature on the document has been verified.
Oh,
so
yes.
Has nothing to do with the contents of the document. I could get a replica of, like, the Declaration of Independence, mm-hmm. sign it in front of a notary, get their stamp on it, boom, notarized.
Yes, and the seal, of course, actually on the paper. It's not like it's been sealed in wax.
Exactly.
I misunderstood. Yeah. Yes. So thank you.
Or that maybe they say it's sealed wax. Who knows? So students, they either fall for the dupe or they're into the scam because the college uses names that sound legit and are easily confused with real colleges. Do you remember Dr. Dante?
Yeah. Hypnotized Dr. Dante.
Exactly. His song won best song.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a diploma mill, if you'll recall.
Oh.
Columbia State University.
Okay.
Because I talked about it then. Distance learning was all the rage in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So he did correspondence courses by mail. He also did some online learning there. And he operated out of a mail drop in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that higher ed expert John Baer said, quote, Columbia State University is a complete fake. There's no such university. The photograph on the cover of their catalog is of Notre Dame University in Indiana, while administrative office number 231 is a 3-inch square mailbox.
Well, you know, education come in a lot of ways, a lot of different shapes.
Different ways.
A lot of ins, a lot of outs.
Exactly. It's not one size fits all.
What if you're saving money by using pictures of other colleges?
Here's a quick note about Dr.
How environmental would that be?
Exactly.
Very environmental.
You're so conscientious. Dr. Baer,
yes.
Little aside on
Please.
Him. He's listed all over as a higher education expert.
Mm-hmm.
But I also stumbled onto a higher education distance learning conspiracy message board.
Wait, what?
There's a post about him.
Okay, say that all again.
Higher education distance learning conspiracy message board. It was just like too much. It was too good. And I was like, did someone make this just like to dupe me? Because it's they know I'd think this was hilarious. So someone on there wrote this article thing about like alleging that John Baer isn't his real name and that mm-hmm. he secretly runs his diploma mills himself and he's trying to destroy the competition. Like it was a rabbit hole to be sure. And it was weird. And anyway, back to Columbia State.
Okay, back to Columbia State. My alma mater. Go on.
Remember at Columbia State University, a 6-to-8-page thesis got you a master's degree.
Yes.
And a 12-page one got you a doctorate.
Yes.
And then both degrees could be completed in, I don't know, 27 days?
A long month,
and
maybe.
And the average was like 2 to 4 months.
Okay, yes.
You could get a PhD for like $3,000,
mm-hmm.
and they let you haggle. And that, so he had Columbia State University. Some of the U.S. diploma mills, they use British sounding names, like the ones I talked about earlier. These are similar, but not identical to the names of actual universities.
Like St. Exeter.
Yeah, exactly. They do this for two reasons. First, British universities are seen as like superior, super rigorous, elite.
Oh, of course, yes. It's why we have British sounding actors always playing in historical movies. Because it's
right.
Oh, yes, of course.
Exactly.
Past would sound British.
And then there's the fact that they're far away and
mm-hmm.
not likely to be like driven by or visited
mm-hmm.
by
mm-hmm.
average American.
Yeah. You can't go and take a selfie in front of like the school.
Exactly. And so some examples of British sounding names used by diploma mills are Shaftesbury University.
Oh, yes.
University of Dunham. Reading University and Suffield University.
Wait a minute. My ex went to that.
It's just like just off. Higher ed institutions in the U.S. have the URL suffix on their websites, mm-hmm. .edu.
Okay.
Some diploma mills use an AC, top-level domain name, like which resembles a genuine second-level academic domain name like ac.uk. So like, you know, for a UK university, it's .ac.uk.
Okay.
But the AC is actually the domain for Ascension Island. And so this has become so prevalent that legit colleges are starting to register that AC domain for their institutions just to redirect to their real sites to prevent digital scammers from
using
it. Yeah.
Interesting.
So what's it like to go to a diploma mill?
Can you actually go to one?
I guess so. Like you may have to buy textbooks.
Okay.
You might have to take some tests.
Really?
Yeah. Whether those are graded or not, who knows?
But you actually have to pretend to do some of the work.
Yeah. Sometimes it depends. It's on the flavor of it.
Of course, of course.
You may have to write a paper and call it a dissertation.
Oh, my God. What is this, college?
Someone might read it. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay.
Maybe not. I would love to get my hands on some of the papers turned into those places. Oh, my God.
You can crayon.
I would probably have an aneurysm.
You would 100% have an aneurysm.
The programs available are generally pretty squishy.
Squishy as in like jello?
I mean, they aren't hard sciences. So they lean on things that are like more vague or subjective or esoteric. And like sometimes it's total pseudoscience.
Like the okay.
Like PhDs in aromatherapy and astrology.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or anything obscure or lacking peer review.
My friend and I, we invented a fake college for a while called Sandalwood State College. And we actually offered degrees in aromatherapy. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. See?
Just wanted to let you know that I've been working this scam myself. So go on.
I taught at a community college that had a name very similar to a university that was well known, and there were a lot of confusion.
Yeah, I could see that.
Who teaches at these diploma?
Who
mills?
Teaches at these, Elizabeth?
Heck if I know. A student's never going to meet them because you know they don't have a campus. No one's actually going.
No,
physically
exactly.
Going.
There's nowhere.
They just
to stand.
You know, so they just sign off on assignments or like for a price. A student can get a reference letter. It's like an a la carte system. So
I love
like,
this. Yes. Why not?
If there are professors employed, their certification to teach is either a degree from that very fake institution or something from somewhere else that's totally unrelated to any of the received degrees. So it's like if I started teaching advanced mathematics at Profambottom Glen University, like I'd sign you off on anything.
Yeah. But like, do you ever have any like disgraced teachers who've like also fallen to this
point
where they're like, you know, basically cashing out.
Probably, exactly. Okay. Well, and like, if there's a faculty directory on the college website with like really robust professor bios, it's likely stolen from the website of a real university. So you wonder like who, you know, what other places are they? No professors means no classrooms, really.
Of course, naturally.
In order to be accredited, colleges have to provide library and student support services. And for online work, there has to be evidence of what they call regular and substantive interaction.
Okay, regular and substantive. So they actually have to have face-to-face time.
Not face-to-face, but for like distance education.
But I'm saying Zoom calls.
Yeah,
you have
Zoom
to like
calls
have
or
presence
any kind of communication.
With your instructor and your fellow students.
Yeah, you're not just like plugging in and they do automated tests. And
let me tell you, this is very important to accreditors. They're always talking about student outcomes, and this is something that's very important to
them.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, important. Oh, yeah, because the face-to-face time is a way for you to gauge that.
Okay. Well, all that evidence of interaction isn't true, obviously, at a mill. There's no library. There's no registrar's office, no counselors, no labs. And then the address, for the most part, is like a post box and a mail forwarding service or like a suite number. So
wouldn't it be great, though, if they had like a swim team? Like, they have nothing but
Why
a swim
not?
Team.
You know, like just like, get, have
you
like
go
the,
down to the pool. They actually have people there
we
swimming.
We should get sweatshirts made for these fake colleges.
I'm telling you, Sandalwood State College, I can get you merch. We have the whole, we already got the thing going. I should have told you about this earlier.
So, like, when someone writes a doctoral thesis or a dissertation at a legitimate university, it's available from University Microfilms International, which is a national repository, or the institution's own library.
Correct.
That's not true for the mills. At most colleges, the motto for faculty is publish or perish. So you have to be writing scholarly articles, conducting research, or for the arts, creating works in order to keep your job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At diploma mills, there's either none of that or it's faked.
Okay.
And a red flag is that tuition and fees are charged by the degree. So students don't pay by units per semester. You just do a flat fee for the whole thing. That's a problem.
Okay, I got to remember that. That's a red flag.
They don't market themselves at college fairs or like in regular areas. It's generally like spam emails.
Yes.
And the emails often like urge students, enroll now before tuition or fees are increased. No, like, that's not how it works.
Is like University of Phoenix part of this? Would you say that they...
That's a touchy subject. They're not technically... They're not technically, we'll put it that way. but they urge you to get the early bird special.
Okay.
You know, enroll now. The marketing materials, the college catalog, the website usually have all sorts of like spelling and grammar errors. And they love putting stuff in Latin.
Of course.
Well, my diploma is in Latin, by the way.
Yes.
Like, did I get scammed? but so that's, it makes it look fancy. It puts an edge on it. So.
It's the patina you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, put it in Latin.
So we know about like what a diploma or degree mill looks like.
Sure.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you about some of the biggest offenders and how the law came a-calling.
Quo va.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, Diploma Mills.
Yes, my alma mater.
We've been around forever.
Uh-huh.
In 2004, FBI Special Agent Otho Allen Ezel.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is he also fake?
Ezel.
Okay, Ezel. I love this.
My neck and my back. He testified to the House Subcommittee on 21st Century Competitiveness.
Okay.
Quote, degree mills are not just a recent problem, Ezel told the committee. We have had them in the United States since about 1835.
Wow.
As long as we have a credential-conscious society where the degree you possess gets you the promotion or salary increase, then we will have degree mills. This is education fraud and no different from any other fraud.
Damn. 1835 is older than the camera.
Oh, yeah.
We've had degree mills longer than we've had cameras.
Yes, exactly. In 1978, Mike Wallace, reporter for 60 Minutes.
Yes, oh yeah.
Love.
Oh yeah, hard Mike Wallace.
He did an expose where he interviewed the owner of California Pacifica University.
Okay.
And a suspected diploma mill. And the guy was arrested mid-interview. And he like wound up pleading guilty to multiple counts of mail fraud.
Amazing.
He did time.
Did Mike Wallace time that? Did he dime him out to the cops?
Like the sun,
I know where you can find him.
Yeah, basically.
I'll tell you, this is when we're recording. Show up an hour after I get set up.
Totally. Authorities shut down Dallas State College in Texas in 1975.
Okay.
The owners turned around and almost immediately opened up as Jackson State University in California.
In California?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Jackson up in the Gold Country.
Oh, right, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Mississippi.
So then the post office shut down their mail there, and they disappeared, but they popped up again as John Quincy Adams University in Oregon.
I love this whack-a-mole
of this. Total whack-a-mole. It took 12 more years before the Dallas State perps were finally brought to justice.
Uh-huh.
It was the FBI and their joint task force with the IRS and the U.S. Postal Service. See?
Oh, wow.
They done did it because all this stuff is through the mail.
Oh, yeah. You're screwed.
Yeah. There's this little something that they all got together and called Operation Diploma Scam, otherwise known as Dip Scam. Operation Dip Scam.
Okay.
So for 11 years, they cracked down on these mills.
11 years.
16 federal search warrants.
Whoa.
19 federal grand jury indictments and 21 convictions.
Wow.
Pretty good. Along the way, the head of operations for Operation Dip Scam, Special Agent Ezel,
yes.
he bought personally 10 bachelor's degrees,
okay,
19 master's degrees, 4 PhDs, and 2 MDs.
He's so educated.
From various places. I mean, he really is. He's a scholar and a gentleman.
His wall is filled. Just
according to Ezel.
Frame businesses see him coming. They're like, oh, we're getting a boat.
There were more than 2,000 diploma mills at the time.
Oh, geez.
And more than 200 unrecognized accreditors. And some of them were operated by the same person.
You know what I'm getting you for your birthday? Giving you a hint. It's yeah. coming in. And you can suitable for framing.
I need a PhD. So, and then I can just be Dr. Dutton.
Exactly.
And let's use that for everything.
Dr. Dutton. Change your last name, how you pronounce it,
Dutton,
too.
Dutton, like of the tuna. So it all started in 1980, the Dip Scam too, when the Charlotte field office of the FBI started looking into Southeastern University in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay.
This sounds like an established, lauded university, Southeastern University.
Home of the boll weevils.
Green lawns.
I used to root for them.
Home of the boll weevils.
Listen to
leafy
the radio
courtyards.
Games.
It's actually a degree mill run out of a small two-bedroom house. And so the man who owned and ran the place actually invited Ezel and another agent who posed as a student to tour the operation.
Come over to the student union. It's here in my living room.
So he's like, come into my little two-bedroom house. He shows them the student records.
Here's Greek Row.
He shows them the fake diplomas, the seals, the ribbons. All of this is later going to get seized by the FBI. And so he's just laying it out here. Yeah, so like pick a color of the ribbon.
Which would you like?
171 of Southeastern's 620, quote, graduates were employed by federal, state, or local governments.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So like almost we're getting close to a third.
Yeah.
Of the, yeah. So much for a vetting process, right? So some of the students, they're in on the con. They wanted to use the diploma to get a raise, secure a specific job.
Yeah, exactly.
Others were a little naive.
Oh, they thought they got
a
degree?
Yeah, there was a security guard in Texas. He said he bought a BA in law enforcement from Southwestern University in Tucson for $500 in 1982 because he, quote, wanted something to hang on my wall and feel proud about. Oh, honey. Yeah.
He could have just bought a star. I mean, that's a similar scam.
Exactly. So what clued him off that the diploma wasn't legit was that his transcripts showed that he got good grades in courses like trigonometry, but he didn't take any trig or most of the other courses listed on the transcript with his name on it. So he took some, like, he filled out tests, like correspondence education. And they were just like, whatever, they have one transcript they send out to people. So that's the thing, though. You aren't just really buying the diploma. You're buying the transcripts.
Yes.
You know, that's what you really need to get the job.
That's going to be something that you use as proof. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in an industry where they want to know, like, you know, your degrees, generally they want to see the transcripts.
Like civil engineering.
Like civil engineering. They're not going to say, just like, take a picture of your diploma.
Show me your diploma.
Yeah. They want the transcripts. And so Dip Scam... they shut down 20 diploma mills. 1983, a 79-year-old Arkansas man named George Lyon, he got sentenced to a year in prison and fined $2,000 after he sold Agent Ezel 5 phony degrees.
Okay.
Ezel said, quote, I complained to him because a diploma I'd gotten in the mail was damaged. He sat there and forged another one for me right on the spot. He's like, yeah, it's fine. I'll give you
another. No problem. Here you go. I got my good pen.
So 1984, John Blazer pleaded guilty to mail fraud for sending out degrees from his bogus universities of East Georgia and the Bahama Islands.
But wait, his name is real? John Blazer?
John Blazer.
Wow.
John Blaze.
Oh, John Blazer.
And so...
next time I freestyle, that's what I'm going to be. John Blazer.
Name.
I mean, you
yeah.
know how much stuff rhymes with Blazer?
Oh my God, I
anyway,
know.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
He got 2 years in prison.
Yes.
The investigations, they're slow going. Because it can take a couple years.
Yeah, you said 11 years for the...
Yeah, it can take a couple years to prove up mail and wire fraud.
I got you.
And then by that time, these collegiate con artists, they've moved on.
Oh, yeah.
They set up the new location, whack-a-mole, and they get things rolling. Charles Durham of Seneca, South Carolina, he got charged with mail fraud in connection with 3 diploma mills.
Am I noticing a trend that a lot of these are in the South?
You are noticing a trend, yeah.
Okay, just wanted...
In South Carolina.
Yes, South Carolina specifically,
yeah,
but I did notice a lot.
Yeah, okay. It's questionable.
Anyway.
He had this interesting defense of his diploma mills. He said that his diplomas, which cost $1,000 for a doctorate, were only, quote, expensive novelties. So it's like something you get from Spencer's Gifts.
You're like when you get one of those pennies stamped and it says like, oh, you're at the, you know, whatever, Seattle. And you're like, here's the skyline.
It's like that, but a diploma. His lawyer said, quote, people who bought these diplomas knew exactly what they were getting. And I don't think the FBI can show otherwise. Well, yeah, but you're still selling them. Operation Dip Scam's first targets were actually fake medical schools. So when you buy a fake degree in like numerology or criminal justice, you know, you're duping an employer or a customer. But at the end of the day, there's like no physical harm.
Yeah.
That's not true with fake medical schools.
Not at all.
That's dangerous.
That's a big O.
Yeah. And like once the operation was underway, the FBI, they're able to quickly shut down the two worst medical schools, Johann Kepler School of Medicine and United American Medical College.
Wait, I went there.
I know.
Wait a minute. You're telling me my medical degree
from
America?
I'm going to call all your patients. But so Dip Scam, though, their largest case came to its climax in October of 1987.
Okay.
Zarin.
Yes.
Close your eyes.
Oh, you snuck it up on me. Yes, my eyes are closed.
I want you to picture it.
Yes.
You are a bailiff at the federal courthouse in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a beautiful October day. The leaves are changing and the air is crisp in the Queen City. You are assigned to courtroom three. It's day 12 of the trial of seven defendants charged with mail fraud, aiding and abetting, and conspiracy. They ran a bunch of fake colleges. Roosevelt University, Loyola University, Cromwell University, University of England at Oxford, Lafayette University, DePaul University, and Southern California University, as well as several fake accrediting agencies. They all sounded like legit places to you, but what, you know, whatever.
Southern California University.
Yes, exactly. You've been told that the prosecution plans to call a bunch of witnesses, and all told, more than 100 people will testify during the trial. They got witnesses from Europe testifying, England, France, Belgium, German, Holland. It's a big one, is what I'm trying to say. So today, higher ed expert John Baer, the Dr. Dante guy and the conspiracy website, he's appearing as an expert witness and observer. You're stationed at the back of the courtroom, waiting for the judge to enter and the trial to begin again for the day. As a smattering of folks settle into the gallery and attorneys on both sides shuffle papers at their desks before the bench, you hear a loud commotion out in the hall.
Should I be telling people to take their seats?
Yeah, well, you're nosy, so you step out into the hall.
Of course.
You and the other court staff knew this was coming, but in person it's nuts. Cameras clicking, reporters shouting questions, supporters singing hymns, detractors shouting insults. That's all going on outside the courthouse doors, but you can hear it from where you are inside. You watch as the main courthouse doors open. The commotion is thunderous. A small group of people, flanked by deputies, push into the courthouse, leaving the melee behind. You see two heads in the middle of the group, both hairsprayed to beat 40, one face plastered with makeup. You can see the eyelashes a mile away. The group smooths themselves out and then slips into courtroom two, right next to yours. A woman standing next to you asks you who that is. Lady, you say, we just watched Jim and Tammy Faye Baker enter the building. Who? She asks. Has she been living under a rock? You tell her that Jim Baker is a televangelist who bilked his flock out of the funds that he used then to pay off affairs and live a lavish lifestyle. He's in court for embezzlement and fraud. An affair? The woman asks. And right on time, there's another commotion outside the courtroom. This time, the figure that pushes through the boisterous crowd and into the silence of the courthouse hallway is a brunette who looks more like an 80s video vixen than a church secretary. That's Jessica Hahn, you tell the woman next to you. Va, va, voom, she replies. That's who that little twerpy guy had an affair with? Not an affair, you tell the woman. Jessica Hahn is an assault victim, you tell her, plain and simple, but you're pretty sure she'll get crucified in the press. You tell the woman that Hahn got a $250,000 payoff for her silence, and the Charlotte Observer newspaper got wind of the story. Their investigation revealed two sets of books and a ton of accounting irregularities, and that's what brought them here. And what's your case, she asks. In courtroom three, you tell her it's a bunch of fake colleges on trial. Interesting, she says. Totally, but not as interesting as those bozos, you say, gesturing toward courtroom two. Which is wise, Aaron. There's not a whole lot of press coverage of the college fraud case.
Of course, they got overshadowed huge time.
It is wall-to-wall Jim and Tammy Faye, both locally to Charlotte and nationally as well. So there are little pieces leading up to
it. You heard my gasp. Yeah. Those are legit.
And you get the sense that this was the college thing was going to be a big story, and then boom, blows up. So two of the minor players at the college trial, they had their cases dismissed due to lack of definitive evidence. The other five main defendants found guilty by the jury on all 27 counts of mail fraud, aiding and abetting conspiracy. They were sentenced to prison terms ranging from 2 to 7 years.
Okay.
But again, like the press was like chugging along. Jim and Tammy Faye happen. Everything kind of derails. And then it's really only in like higher education press that you're finding stuff. So remember in the very top, UDP, the university degree program, the granddaddy of all diploma operations.
Of course.
UDP was owned by Jason and Carolyn Abraham of Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
They were also known by their Hebrew names, Yaakov and Shia Rochelle.
Okay.
They started their operation in the 90s, 1990s. All right. And they recruited, quote, students over the phone from call centers in Romania and Israel.
Wow.
And they also, they didn't just sell diplomas. They sold fake international driver's licenses.
What?
Yeah. So the telemarketers were paid on commission and they got performance-based bonuses. And they had a lot of power. Like they could offer degrees on whatever program of study you wanted.
They're cutting the prices. They're slinging deals. I'll give you a physics degree and a math degree for
$85.
Creating
academic programs right there. Okay. Yeah. So the Abrahams, they made sure that there was background cover for their fake colleges. So they had all these websites for the institutions.
A layer of obfuscation.
Yes. If you bought a degree, you didn't know which of these, quote, universities was going to issue the degree.
Ah.
You just knew I'm getting a PhD in physics.
It's like buying a flight with Delta.
Who knows what plane's going to be at the gate? Well, that's just so like you wait and then when the diploma arrives, oh, I guess I went to Sheffield.
Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's probably, my guess is it's like whichever one they have the most blanks left over for. They just talk around the top of the pile. And UDP, they sent letters to customers that said, quote, the policy of not disclosing the name of the university protects you against unscrupulous individuals who do not approve of self-study and lifestyle improvement.
You want plausible deniability.
We're helping you.
That's what you're looking for.
And they said they also
did
it to avoid, quote, bad publicity. So over the years, UDP sold more than 30,000 degrees. President of Liberia got one.
Wait,
that
real?
Was the guy at the top.
All right, okay. I didn't think it was the real president of Liberia.
Yeah, George Weah, president of Liberia.
Yeah, but I thought that was a scam. Like, he was like, hi, I'm George Weah, president of Liberia. But the real president
of Liberia.
The real
president has one of these degrees. The couple made more than $100
million.
$100 million. 30,000 of these degrees.
$100 million.
In 2003.
For scam degrees.
Uh-huh.
Just for paper.
Yeah, just paper.
And the illusion of.
And look where it got a lot of these people.
Wow.
So the U.S. Federal Trade Commission,
we've
FTC.
Really reduced the value of education.
Completely,
if you can just down to this.
Completely. They got together with British government authorities. They went after UDP.
Okay.
For both the degrees as well as those fake international driver's licenses.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get them on that, too. And then the FTC and the Israeli government authorities, they shut down the call center operation in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. The FTC complaint cited, quote, deceptive acts or practices in or affecting commerce. And the Abrahams, they turned over $100,000 in profits, and then they promised, we're going to stop selling degrees.
So they got to keep 99,000. Yes.
I promise we're not going to do it
again. I'm
doing
the math again on air. See,
but then,
I shouldn't do it.
2004, the Chronicle of Higher Education, they pointed something out. There was email advertising that looked a lot like UDP's.
No.
And the phone banking was pretty much identical
no.
to their script. And this is after they agreed to close up shop. And so the Oregon Office of Degree Authorization, which I didn't even know exists, they chimed in that some of the websites that appeared to be UDP programs, products or clones remained in operation.
Now, is the Oregon Office of Degree Authentication, they legitimate?
Apparently.
How will I know?
Who knows?
Who authenticates the authenticators?
I don't trust anyone
who
anymore.
Who accredits the accreditors?
So it looks like this was all reported, but I'm not really sure what came of it. I couldn't find anything about them beyond 2010.
Sure.
But I'm going to guess that they're still out there doing this in some
I'm
capacity.
Betting that this mole has whacked again.
Yes.
Or however that plays.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, I'll have more examples of fake diplomas for you, but these are way more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
I've had some smart dogs and cats in my lifetime.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. No, I'm just talking to myself, quite
frankly. Just bragging? You're just like, hey, Elizabeth, you know what I like about us?
Some weren't so smart, like my dog Casey, who was just empty behind the eyes, like a big old Rottweiler.
Oh, yeah. I've known a lot of dogs like
that. Nothing but a cool breeze
I've known some people
ears.
Like that, yeah. Cool same. Breeze between the ears? Totally.
Most of my dogs have been pretty clever.
How so?
Some more than others. I had a dog named Wallace who was a total genius.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned Wallace.
Yeah, like a shaggy Skye Terrier mutt. He'd stand on his hind legs and use his front paws to open doors with like the turning doorknob.
Oh, turn the doorknob. Not just like push the door open from a high leverage point.
He would like twist the knob in between his paws and then like waltz in a room. It was really, or back it up into him and then walk it.
Totally.
It was really freaky to watch. I loved that guy. Lived to be 17 years old.
Wow.
Anyway, one of the ways that investigators caught diploma mills was by having them issue degrees to pets. Because there's no way the fake college can dispute that.
Why would they ever be issuing degrees to pets?
Right. Well, okay, let's start with the basics. Kitty O'Malley.
Is that a cat?
Well, it sounds like a nice girl.
Okay.
Kitty O'Malley was really a cat named Spanky.
Okay.
So in 19...
Wait, Kitty O'Malley was a cat named Spanky?
Yeah, how great
that
is
that?
Well, because you can't put Spanky on the application.
But the cat wasn't named Kitty O'Malley?
No, it was named Spanky. So in 1973, the Lakeland, Florida newspaper, The Ledger...
Oh, great, yeah.
They went to Washington High Academy to get Kitty a high school diploma.
Okay.
And the newspaper tried to use the diploma to get Kitty into, like, area colleges, but that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They needed full transcripts and test scores and, like, an essay or whatever. But the fact that a cat got a high school diploma was enough for the state attorney general's office to launch an investigation.
From this one news story?
Yeah.
Wow.
Another high school grad by dubious means was Oreo Collins. Born in 2007, Oreo was or is, I probably was,
well,
a tuxedo
point?
Cat. Yes. And those are so cute. I know a tuxedo cat named Penny.
Yeah.
Oreo, which is not a particularly original name for a tuxedo cat, got a diploma from Jefferson High School online in 2009.
Okay.
And obviously they lied about her age. Who got this cat a diploma? Is a two-year-old gets a high school diploma? What is that?
Really intelligent.
This guy, Kelvin Collins, he worked for the Better Business Bureau of Central Georgia, and he was conducting a sting. Busted, got him, because of old Oreo Collins. Another high school grad, Molly. Last name redacted. February of 2012, reporters from Houston television station KHOU, they got a...
Yes, an investigative news team?
Yes. They got a high school diploma and official transcript from Lincoln Academy for their photographer's basset hound, Molly. And basset hounds are cute, yes, but they're also potentially really stinky. I just need to editorialize
throw that out there in case anyone's in the market.
Yeah. So the Action News team, they paid $300 after filling out what they called a, quote, laughable, easy take-home test. The news team was tipped off to Lincoln Academy by a homeschooling advocacy group that was trying to, like, root out phony operations that makes homeschooling look bad. Next up, Wally Brancato. Wally got an associate's degree.
Okay.
And that was in 2004. A man named Peter Brancato with the Albany, New York television
station. No relation? Wally and Peter Brancato?
Oh, there, you'll find out.
Okay.
WRGB. Peter.
Yes.
He worked for this television station. He applied to and received an associate's degree from Almeida University. But see, Peter didn't, but his dog Wally did.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's what Brancato put on Wally's application. Quote, plays with the kids every day, teaches them to interact better with each other, teaches them responsibilities like feeding the dog. And so Almeida University granted Wally a, quote, life experience associate degree in childhood development.
Yes. Early childhood development, I imagine.
Yeah. The investigation aired and it was a hit. Almeida University, though, was not pleased.
No, no.
They said that Brancato perjured himself by creating a false identity using a fabricated name and date of birth.
They were going to fight this
one. They're like, sue me, sue you.
Okay.
An Almeida University representative said, quote, he completed an application that included a background of the following: 8 years tutoring pre-K children, curriculum design and development, teaching coping skills, and volunteer coaching. I say dogs can do all of those things.
Totally. And I also, I think that you can get a degree for those.
Yeah, you totally can. Wally, though,
yes,
popped up again in March 2008.
Oh.
He didn't transfer and get a bachelor's.
No.
He was featured in a Lake Geneva, Wisconsin mayoral campaign political cartoon. It was a picture of him and a dialogue bubble that said, I graduated with Bill Chesson. Because mayoral candidate Bill Chesson listed a bachelor's degree from Almeida University among his accomplishments. And I'm also curious, was Bill Chesson AKC registered? Bill, not
Bill,
Wally.
Bill, contact us.
So then,
wait a minute. Whoever was the political operative who caught that one, they read a lot of news and like you need that person in your operation.
Oh, they're incredible.
That's amazing.
And that's a great.
They're like, what was the name of that college?
Yeah, the cartoon.
I know that.
Zarin, I'd like you to meet Zoe DeKatz.
Zoe DeKatz.
Certified hypnotherapist.
Okay.
Zoe DeKatz, Zoe the cat in German, was owned by psychologist Steve Eichel. And Eichel got a psychotherapy certification for his cat from the American Psychotherapy Association, as well as a bunch of hypnotherapy credentials from other organizations. Zoe has become a cited case study for those researching credentialing scams, and she's even appeared in textbooks.
Wow. Look,
Zoe.
Look what she can do.
Another hypno cat,
yes,
George Jackson, registered hypnotherapist. George is also a cat. In 2009, Chris Jackson, host of the BBC show Inside Out Northeast and Cumbria, registered his cat, George, as a hypnotherapist.
Okay.
Chris created a fake certificate from a non-existing institution and used it to register with three professional organizations: the British Board of Neuro-Linguistic Programming,
wow,
the United Fellowship of Hypnotherapists,
okay,
and the Professional Hypnotherapy Practitioner Association. None of them checked the transcripts or the records. They just certified the cat.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And this was part of a BBC investigation. Who consulted on the show? Steve Eichel, owner of fellow cat hypnotherapist Zoe DeKatz.
I like
There's a whole network.
Team
now.
Up. Yeah, exactly. At this point, they have each other to lean on.
Yeah, exactly. So moving up the achievement ladder, we meet Lulu Howard.
Ooh, Lulu Howard.
B Sky B Limited versus HP Enterprise Services UK Limited was a 2010 case in the England and Wales High Court.
Huh.
So B Sky B, British Sky Broadcasting,
yes, Sky
Limited,
Broadcasting,
they provided satellite broadcasting and related services. The defendants, HP Enterprise Services UK Limited, they provided IT services, internet technology services, information technology services.
All right, so they're the IT guys.
Yeah, so the whole thing centered around the procurement of a new customer relationship management system so that B Sky B could provide improved service to its customers, focused on telephone contact between customers and the customer advisors at Sky call centers.
Okay.
So B Sky B selected HP Enterprise to build out the system, and like things didn't go so well.
Okay.
It's very dry. And you're asking, Elizabeth, where are the cutie pups?
Elizabeth, I'm noticing no cutie pups. Right. Where are they?
Where? Bring me the cutie pups.
I'd like top shelf cutie pups.
The ones in the caps and the gowns holding diplomas, uh-huh. Those cutie pups?
Yes.
I want you to hold tight.
Please.
The defendant's key witness had an MBA from Concordia College in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay. That sounds hinky right there, though.
But that was not impressive to Mark Howard, a member of the legal team for B Sky B.
I'm with Mark Howard.
He smelled a fake. So he went out and got a degree from mm-hmm. Concordia for his dog, Lulu. Lulu got better grades than the key witness. So I'm thinking Mark paid more for that. The judge found that the witness had lied. All hell broke loose. And the story is now a thing of legend in the British legal community.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because here he's like, oh, so you're an expert witness. This is your credentials. Mm-hmm. How about my dog has better degree? Yeah.
Could you imagine being a lawyer and then like just in the dropping room that moment? You set it all up. You got the thing. The guy steps into your, he steps right into your trap and you're like, oh.
Yeah, Barbara would
your hands
never.
Are shaking practically.
Yeah, exactly.
Barbara would never.
Another one to complete a degree on the yes. road to gainful employment was Maxwell Sniffingwell.
Maxwell Sniffingwell.
So Dr. Ben Mays, a veterinarian in Clinton, Arkansas, he got a degree in theriogenology from Belford University on behalf of an English bulldog named Maxwell Sniffingwell.
Oh, of course, yes.
What is theriogenology?
Elizabeth, what is theriogenology? Yeah.
It's basically veterinary reproductive medicine and surgery.
Oh, so it's like gynecology for dogs?
I suppose so, yeah. So the almost husbandry, I would imagine.
Oh,
right?
More like husbandry. Okay, so.
But like the surgery part of it.
And that's what I was thinking.
The
anyway.
Application included his work as a reproductive specialist, noting his, quote, natural ability in theriogenology and, quote, experimental work with felines.
Was this one of those I got credit for my life experiences?
Yeah.
Where he's like, I've been birthing babies for a while?
Yeah, this was, yeah. And but this is for the dog. This is the
sure,
dog.
Sure, I know, but birthing dog babies.
Has experimental work with felines.
Yeah.
His understanding of the merits of specialization despite a desire to, quote, do them all. He got a diploma, transcript, letter of recommendation after the vet paid $549 to the university. He declined the offer to be made an honor student for another $75.
Well, you yeah. know.
MBAs are popular degrees among pets. take Pete, for Pete's sake.
Okay.
Pete was a 4-year-old male short-haired half greyhound, half terrier.
Ah, I was going to ask.
And he lived in the Battersea Dogs and Cats home in London. He was a shelter pup. And Pete was on his way up in the world, though, right?
Oh, he's moving.
The BBC investigative program Newsnight was looking into the American University of London, AUOL. They got a tip that AUOL was not on the up and up. Mm-hmm. So Newsnight found hundreds of senior executives that said that they had degrees from AUOL. The program drew up a 1-page fake resume for a management consultant named Peter Smith,
okay.
known as Pete, living in South London, which included 15 years of fake work experience, mm-hmm. a fictitious undergrad degree from a UK university, mm-hmm. and then Newsnight sent Pete's CV to AUOL, along with a completed application for a master's in business, an MBA, and the £50 application fee. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be like credit for prior learning,
yeah.
like that,
okay.
yeah.
Uh-huh.
AUOL asks for applicants to provide photocopies of previous qualifications and a photograph of themselves. Newsnight was unable to provide either since the qualifications didn't exist and the applicant was a dog. They didn't send it. And they still, 4 days after they send in what they have of the application, AUOL sent Pete an email saying that his application for a degree based on previous experience had been successful.
Oh,
and
good luck.
Once the
go,
university
Pete.
Had received his $4,500
£4,500
fee, he would be registered as an MBA graduate within about 2 weeks.
$4,500.
Yeah. So the Newsnight reporter called back to check whether Pete would be required to submit any work.
Mm-hmm.
And the university representative said, quote, no, apparently the APEL, which is the Accreditation of Previous Experiential Learning Board, awarded him the full degree immediately based on his qualification and his professional experience. So he doesn't have to do any courses.
They were very impressed. They said
that
he was a
crazy.
Good boy.
He's like the
a
best.
Very good boy.
Very good boy. Good job, Petey. As for the hundreds of senior executives with AUOL
yes,
alumni
so you're saying senior
status,
executives across London and across,
yeah.
okay.
Newsnight named names.
Oh,
and a
snap.
Bunch of them were blacklisted. It was amazing.
Oh, I bet.
It was nice.
you love it.
I did love that. Another high achieving MBA was Colby Nolan.
Okay.
Colby Nolan was a house cat, but not just any house cat. He belonged to a deputy attorney general.
Oh.
And thanks to deputy attorney general, Colby got an MBA in 2004 from Trinity Southern University, a Dallas-based diploma mill. So first, the agents got the then six-year-old feline a bachelor's degree in business administration for like $300.
Okay.
6 years old. Cat prodigy, Zarin. Colby's application.
You didn't see some of his pitches. I mean, his business plans were uncanny.
Acumen off the charts. The application that Colby turned in said he had taken courses at a community college, that he worked at a fast food restaurant, babysat, and had a newspaper route.
I heard it also included scratch and sniff stickers.
Yes, and a 3.5 GPA.
Oh, okay.
So the institution tells Colby that due to the job experience listed on his application, don't forget, so it's a community college, a paper route, fast, like McDonald's, and babysitting.
Sure.
he's eligible for an executive MBA that he could obtain for another $100.
Wow. Look at that. And business world, you move so fast.
Yeah, right? And so they recognize talent.
If you can babysit, you could run a Fortune 500 company, I think is what they're saying.
Probably true. So once Colby had his degree, Pennsylvania Attorney General Jerry Papert filed a lawsuit against Trinity Southern University December 2004. Mm-hmm. The Texas Attorney General obtained a temporary restraining order under the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act against Trinity Southern and its owners. And then the court also froze the assets of the school.
Good for them.
The owners had to pay $100,000 in fines, were ordered not to market or promote fraudulent substandard degree programs or represent their university as being accredited or affiliated with legitimate universities.
So they make all these millions and then they have to pay $100,000.
And every time they're like, okay, pay us like $100,000 and then say you're not going to do it again.
Yeah, please.
Promise me you're
because
not going to do it again.
We've totally incentivized that by making you pay us the amount for stamps.
Well, and okay, so we talked about high school diplomas, associate's degrees, MBAs. That's bad enough. But as we said, the terrifying fake degrees.
Medical.
Fake medical school degrees. And I have a pet one for that, too.
Oh, do you?
Sunny. In 2007, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation comedy show The Chasers War on Everything went after diploma mills.
I like how this is just a bit everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, what if we, do we not totally. Have anything for Thursday? Go look into diploma books. Do you have a cat?
The host got a medical degree online for his dog, Sunny, Dr. Sunny.
Dr. Sunny, of course.
The degree came from a notorious diploma mill, Ashwood University. And the application cited Sunny's supposed like work experience, which included, quote, significant proctology experience sniffing other dogs' bums.
Oh, God.
Like they just wrote it out like that. And even with that in the application, he still got the degree. And I they only care about the money on it. So Ashwood University has since been listed as a non-accredited degree supplier in the states of Michigan, Oregon, and Texas.
You think a dog could get an archaeology degree for all that digging?
100%.
Right?
Let's do
Dibber it. Bones.
Let's do
it. Into copper lights. I mean, it's just...
Well, and if you go to the doctor and the diploma on their wall is from Ashwood University.
Yes, run.
The first thing you do is make sure that they write you scripts for whatever it is you want.
No, I'm going
and
out the
then,
window.
Then you book it out the window.
Okay.
Then you run for it.
I don't want to be involved with that doctor on paper at all.
Well, just get the scripts and run.
No, I don't think they realize. Where'd you
get
these?
You didn't know.
Do you think I can fake plausible deniability? Look at me. I've got degrees from Ashwood University.
Zarin, what's your ridiculous takeaway?
You know, this isn't, you know, not to be too serious, but it's really sad to hear that we've reduced a degree to just something you flash. So people think they can go and buy one and nobody's like, I'm going to look into that. They're just like, oh, there it is. Let's check that box.
Yeah, exactly.
So they get $3,500. They get the box checked. And then now they're like, you know, the head accountant at whatever, some telecom or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, and it means less and less all
I guess
the time.
Not an accountant, because accountants actually do have to get certified. But
well,
the,
an MBA. Or
the MBA,
sure
yeah. I'm saying
get,
some of
you
the
can
business,
get any of these.
Somebody on the C-suite. I don't
Yeah, right. I feel like it means less and less all the time, that especially if you're dropping rigor, then it really like on legitimate colleges. But like, yeah, it means less.
Think how much
and
your
less.
College experience meant to you in terms of like forming who you are, how you are, and the imprimatur means something. And then now we reduce it to, do you have a stamp and do you have some paper?
Just
come up with something that has a lot of syllables.
Yeah.
People will believe that.
I want to get a PhD.
What's your ridiculous takeaway, Elizabeth?
I want a fake PhD. That's my ridiculous
I told you that you're getting that for your birthday. That's it's
okay,
going to be suitable
perfect.
For framing. You're going to love it. It'd
perfect,
be great.
Perfect. Hey, Captain D, can you give me a talk back?
Talk back. Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hey, this is Kelly, longtime listener. Enjoy the show. So on the subject of doing math on air, there's a great local show here in Little Rock, Arkansas, Corey and Patrick. Sadly, just ended, but one of their number one rules was you never do math on the air because for some reason you can never math when put on the spot or on the air. So
I say it's not just never math on the air, just never math.
No, but Corey and Patrick are 100% right. Yes. I failed earlier in the show. I mean, look, boom, there you go.
Can't be avoided.
I can't do math. I'm with you. I can't do math
can't
ever.
Do it.
But I don't want to say that for the kids,
yeah.
You know? But
do
don't,
math, kids.
But you're going to put pressure on yourself in
do
public.
Do math and get a legitimate degree in it.
There you go.
How about that? Boom. That's it. That's all we have.
You hashtag that.
You can find us online at RidiculousCrime.com. We're also at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. Email RidiculousCrime@gmail.com. Leave us a talk back on the iHeart app. Don't talk about math. But thank you for Kelly. I do appreciate that. Reach out. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Dave Kustin, Chancellor of Rude Dude University. Research is by Dean of Mysteries, Marissa Brown, and Professor of Anthropology, The Store, Andrea Song Charpentier. The theme song is by Registrar of Bogusville State University College University, Thomas Lee, and Travis Dutton, PhD, MD, JD, OD, ID, LMNOP. Post wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Feline MBA Ben Bolin and Canine MD Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.